steak, 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 a big old steering steak, steak. Do we have one here?
Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. A topic very near and dear to your heart.
Yep.
Pear is a shape.
So is a watermelon. Listen. I, unfortunately, am the shape of both of them.
Okay, so we've determined that you're in shape. It's just maybe not the shape that we want.
My kids say I'm a well-rounded individual.
Yes, you are well-rounded. I can't argue on my side either. Anyways, listen, we all know that lifestyle choices, when we talk about the health bucket, part of what we talk about is the lifestyle choices you make. And, you know, one of the things that we do have control over is weight, right? We can make some choices.
And as you age, it becomes more challenging to lose the weight.
Yeah.
And so there's been some new studies about this age demographic.
Yep.
As you're getting older, what do you do? We're going to figure that out. But you and I are not the right people to talk about this.
No, we're going to listen intently to this. We've got Dr. Kristen Beavers, who's a researcher at Wake Forest University, joining us. Dr. Beavers, thanks for spending a bit of time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about weight loss here. And maybe explain why it's harder for me at 51 than it is for Faisal at whatever age he is, significantly
younger.
A
lot younger.
Why does it get harder?
That is a loaded question for sure. I would say to begin with, in general, while we think about weight as being bad, it's really fat that we're concerned about.
Right.
And what happens as you age, I mean, this happens to everyone, is just that muscle and bone mass start to decline around your 30s, something like that, where fat mass tends to creep upward until you're maybe in your mid-70s. And so I think some of the reason it's difficult is because you have this shifting in compartments that really contributes to health risk and makes it harder for you to keep your metabolism up if your muscle mass is going down, things like that.
So that's why my chest decided it needed to move to my stomach. I don't know what happened there. Okay, so...
That was too much information.
I know. Let's talk a little bit about sort of safe weight loss. So we know there's differences, obviously, between, older people and younger people. But I want to talk a little bit about sort of safe weight loss for seniors, because you've hit on something I think that's really important, is it's not about weight. It's about the composition, right? So it's totally fine if you're gaining weight, but you're putting on muscle mass to support your structure and everything. So maybe just give us a little bit of insight there about what seniors should be thinking about and what safe weight loss actually means.
Well, I think that what folks can generally agree on is if you can do it, you'd maximize fat loss while minimizing muscle and bone loss.
Right.
And so then obviously the question is, well, exactly, how might you do that? We know that there are lifestyle-based countermeasures to weight loss-associated muscle and bone loss that older adults can partake in, like resistance exercise.
Yes.
Is helpful to maintain muscle. If you can make it more high-impact training, that's even better for your bone.
What's that mean? So let's just define high-impact for a moment for our listeners.
Yeah, so basically, so your bone kind of responds to the stresses that it's placed on it, and so in particular, high-impact stresses. So if you do something like jumping, let's even say, which may or may not be, then this honestly is the difficulty in the research I do, because there's the ideal, and then there's the, what people can do safely and are willing to do. But, you know, if you could maybe do, leg drops, or some people even walk with a weighted vest. Sounds kind of crazy. But basically just to try to load your bones in a way that you are impacting them and helping them to maintain their structure.
Kristen, I've been carrying Dave in this business for the past 10 years, so I know what it's like to have a lot of weight on your back and so forth, so I understand that.
Wow.
But let's talk about this research that you guys did. There was a study aimed to quantify the risk of doing nothing. There was a group, and then they kind of walk us through that, what you guys did and what were some of the results from it.
Yeah, and let me actually, as I segue into that, let me mention, because I think this is appropriate for the exercise bit of it. We know that exercise is a pretty effective way to maintain muscle and bone. The fact of the matter is that it's hard for people to do it. And so So the study that we conducted that I'll tell you about here in a second was specifically designed to really be targeting dietary changes.
Right.
Because making two changes is hard. And so we wanted to design a program that really just focused on the diet side of things to see if that was effective. We know exercise is effective. It's just that people have trouble doing it. So anyway, the study that we completed and recently was picked up by a couple of news outlets was a study that looked at a higher protein, nutritionally complete weight loss program. And by nutritionally complete, it really means adequate in micronutrients,
right.
Making sure we have enough calcium and vitamin D, which are really important for muscle and bone health, and comparing that diet plan to a weight stability group. And as you mentioned, the reason for that contrast is because a lot of times what happens is you have a geriatrician, a doctor that's working with an older adult, and they are talking about weight loss, and there's a pause because there's sort of this, you know, theoretical risk that you have this person that, you know, let's say is obese, wants to lose weight, but if they do lose weight, they might lose muscle and bone, and that could exacerbate disability and fracture risk. And so, anyway, I think that a lot of times in the clinic, people don't know what to do, and so they don't do anything. They just say, well, let's revisit this in 6 months.
Right.
And so this study was really designed to sort of, okay, let's do something, and let's compare it to maintain the status quo and see what happens across a variety of health indicators. And so we looked at weight change, we looked at body composition change. We looked at mobility. That's a really important outcome for older adults. I mean, if you can't walk, you probably aren't going to be able to live independently.
Right.
We looked at bone, and we looked at some biomarkers that predict mortality, believe it or not, and how weight loss may affect those.
Okay.
So I could go to you in turn, or you ask me, what do you want to know?
Yeah, no, I keep going on that, because I want to know, you've studied this stuff, and so we know that there are some realities, right? And this is the thing. I don't want this just to be another segment about, we all know we should lose weight or, you know, lose fat, I guess, more precisely. What should people be doing? What changes can they make in their lives to get started on that path, right? Like you said, we can't change everything all at once. Where do we start?
So this study, and what I could tell you from the research we did, was looking at a diet approach, period, and just to see if that was effective. So this diet plan that we had folks follow, and there were about a little less than 100 individuals enrolled in this study for a six-month period. Half of them were randomized to our weight loss program. Half of them were the weight stability arm. And those in the weight loss arm were following this higher protein, so trying to get about a gram of protein per body weight per day. That's kind of dietitian speak for a higher protein, which is challenging to do when you're losing weight. I mean, it really is. It does require some kind of intentional planning on your part. Not impossible, but just I think requires a little bit of planning. And as I said, also making sure that calcium and vitamin D was adequate during the weight loss. So I guess, like, from a, you know, practical standpoint, that's what we did. So we made sure they were getting enough protein, probably, you know, above what the recommended dietary allowance is, but I think probably more appropriate for what an older adult needs to maintain muscle and bone, and vitamin D and calcium. And when we did this, I mean, what we saw is that these people lost, I mean, quite a bit of weight. They lost about 8% of their weight over the six-month period, and the majority of it was from fat. So they lost about 87% of what they lost came from fat, which I just say, in comparison to other studies in the literature, this is great. I mean, normally you expect at least a quarter of what you lose to be from muscle and bone, and so this was, you know, a lot less. I mean, you're going to lose some. I mean, I think, you know, that's the reality of it. But by and large, these folks were able to preserve their muscle and their bone, and then from a clinical outcome standpoint, their mobility stayed the same, their bone mass stayed the same, bone quality even improved a little bit. And so I think that this, from a kind of holistic standpoint, was a plan that really tried, you know, did what we hoped it would do. You know, we've got people to lose fat, they maintain their muscle and bone, and then a lot of their clinical indicators that, you know, a geriatrician would be concerned about stayed the same or even got a little better.
So in a nutshell, if the average listener right now is trying to figure out what the heck they should do, are we saying increase it to about 1 gram of protein per kilogram of body weight, have some vitamin D, have some calcium, and you're better off? Like, is that the outcome?
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, maybe even just a little simpler than that. I think that, you know, in terms of, like, what you might eat, I think this is just really thinking about, you know, consuming, like, lean proteins kind of at your meals, like, throughout the day, things like, you know, a chicken breast or a lean, ground beef or fish fillet or something like that. And then non-starchy vegetables, so greens if you like them, I guess leafy greens, green beans, broccoli, things of that nature,
And what age should they be focusing on this? Like, is it at 50 and above, or is it 65, or what? What's the age?
Well, this study, our study was looking at folks who are 65 and older. I mean, and I do think like the risks for things of like sarcopenia and fractured. I mean, obviously that goes up as you get older. Certainly as you get into your seventh and eighth decade of life. But I think sometimes I joke that I'm at the wrong end of the spectrum. I think this stuff really should start pretty early on. So I don't think it, I think you can think about it in middle age and hopefully, give yourself some reserve going into older adulthood.
Thanks for your input. We appreciate it, Dr. Beavers.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We've been joined by Dr. Kristen Beavers, who's a researcher at Wake Forest University, and reminding us again about some healthy choices that we can make in our health bucket, right, to improve the quality of certainly of our retirement. We're going to talk about that at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, that'll be on March 26th, Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. at the Four Points Sheraton Hotel in West Calgary. You need to reserve your seats. Give us a call, 966-8400. That's 966-8400. Or register online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
There's some differences between investing in men and women and some unique risks for women. Tune in after the break to hear about those and how you can overcome them. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.